Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. The protocols of dating can vary in different cultures and countries. How have our dating rituals changed over time? Joining us to talk about the psychology of dating, psychologist Michael Abbruzzese and psychiatrist Mark Whaley. Good morning to you both.
Hi, Mindy.
Good morning, Mindy.
All right, so lots of interesting research to talk about today, but I guess first we need to talk about the increased pressure that we seem to have today. You have dating services, reality TV shows like The Bachelor, Average Joe, books, Surrendered Single, Find a Husband After 35, Using What I Learned at Harvard Business School. It's always been kind of pressure, you know, finding that, you know, perfect someone. But does it seem to you that the pressure's more now than it used to be, or is it the same?
No, I think the proliferation of TV shows and everything in books is just really a general pandering to the anxiety of the age. And if the media creates in the population a perception that they must be dating or they must be purchasing any kind of product, then you're going to see an increase where people think, businesses think they can make more money on that. So there, I think there's an example there of people taking advantage of other people's anxiety and insecurity.
Mm-hmm. Sure. It's also, you know, it's an industry and it's a successful one these days. Mm-hmm. I suppose hundreds of years ago there was matchmakers among mm-hmm. families and in cultures. That still exists mm-hmm. and is the dominant way of dating, if mm-hmm. you want to call it that. Mm-hmm. But we live in a free society, so we're going to do things in a very free, somewhat chaotic manner. Mm-hmm. The ways of communicating now are multiple and instantaneous. So I think that's how the industry has gotten going.
Yeah. So one study notes of the romantic partnerships formed in the United States between 2007 and 2009, 21% of heterosexual couples and 61% of same-sex couples met online. Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't. I would think it's actually higher these days. You know, we're talking about 4 or 5, 6 years ago at this point. I would think it's higher. Mm-hmm. There, you see much more ads on TV for the dating services.
Right. Now you're seeing a lot. It seems to be segmenting the market, whereas before you had some major leaders. I guess there was Match.com and was it eHarmony.com mm-hmm. or something? Now you're seeing a lot of ads for Christian singles or
mingles,
and they they're starting to subdivide the market again in an attempt to try and do what people have been trying to do for a long time, which is affiliate with like-minded people. It's better to have an idea of what's going on with someone if they have similar kinds of background, mm-hmm. and the numbers you quote seems to be in line with what I've heard from people in my practice, and you want to try and meet people the best way you can. And the internet certainly is a very, very large marketplace. And I think people in the same-sex community have much more difficulty bumping into mm-hmm. Other people in the same-sex community because they're not easily identifiable.
That's
so
true.
I can see why the numbers would be higher on that.
Yeah. Yeah. So how scientific are these matching algorithms of online dating websites?
Well, it's to be debated. Mm-hmm. They won't disclose their algorithms mm-hmm. because it's that's their business, mm-hmm. And they won't disclose research. They certainly have data to say how successful they are, mm-hmm. But they won't disclose that either because mm-hmm. it affects their bottom line.
Like, there's no transparency in that kind of stuff, so it really is suspect. The idea about the hallmark of any good science, any good research, no matter what you're researching, is it has to be transparent.
Right.
And as soon as people try to hide some key elements of their so-called research, you have to go to your default assessment and think, well, there's maybe something they're hiding, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so some people have good experiences with these matching services and others not so good. And we were saying this before on the air, I wish I could remember, there was a book a woman wrote and we even had her on the show a while back, but she talked about her experiences with all these, you know, different dating and finally realized, you know, she was pretty happy mm-hmm. being single and,
right.
you know, and some of her dates were quite comical. Some, you know, it was an interesting read, let's say.
Sure.
But Mark, can we share your story?
You actually
have a great story.
Probably I should be in the interest of full disclosure. I'm rather positive about dating services online. Personally, I had was in a marriage that ended, and after 34 years, I hadn't dated at all. And I tried one date, and I'm together with a woman now, and we've been together for 11 or 12 years now.
That's amazing.
Married, and very happily so.
Yeah.
So it does work. Now, my example, obviously, is an unusual one, and luck has everything to do with it.
Well, do you think it's it all like, or I mean, did you both tell the truth on your questionnaires?
Yes, we did. And as a matter of fact, I remember I suggested to her that she might not want to date me because her picture that she posted that got my attention and reminded me of my high school girlfriend. Same hairstyle. Mm. I think the logical conclusion would be then that I'm out to recapture. I'm an old fogey trying to recapture my youth and get back there again. But she was willing to overlook that, and we did get together. Which I guess does say something about, chemistry and what does attract somebody. Yeah. There's certain preconceptions, biases, preferences that we don't really kind of know about necessarily, but really do attract us. And the internet with these dating services, it's at least an efficient way to go fishing. Mm-hmm. And it's luck whether you're going to catch something that really matters. But it's rather efficient. You can do it in, the comfort of your home. And you look around and see if there's anything that does stand out to you.
Were you the least bit nervous about that? I think I'd be a little bit scared.
Oh, sure. I wanted the result. In other words, I wanted a relationship that mattered and was meaningful. So you keep your eye on the result. And I guess that a certain age, I would have been probably more nervous maybe in my 20s or 30s, mm-hmm. When my self-esteem is more on my sleeve sort of thing.
Right.
Later in life, it's you can sort of say, what's the worst that can happen?
Right.
And mean it. Yeah. You don't have to be governed by the fears of exposure so much. And in my practice, I encourage people to try the online dating services. And the major resistance people have, at least that I see, it has to do with the fear of exposure and therefore the fear of rejection or the fear of rejection resulting from being exposed. They protect themselves from not availing themselves of a pretty useful tool. If they can overcome that and at least go about it with a adventuresome spirit and let's see what happens spirit, they can have a chance at least of success. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean they will succeed.
Right.
And every encounter is an incident in and of itself. In other words, 5 bad dates doesn't mean number 6 is bad.
Right.
Or 50 bad dates doesn't mean that 51 is bad. So you really have to take that into account, that's really every incident is an incident of itself. It's counter to the way people play blackjack, for instance. Each card that gets turned over is independent of what came before it. But that's not how people think.
Right.
And that's why people gamble and the casinos do so well with blackjack, for instance.
It's really important to understand the expectations. You know, if you'd have a well-meaning people who enter in the same vein that Mark did, the very an expectation set that is not too grandiose. You have a sense of pretty much yourself and a sense of the type of person that you're looking for. And the internet, as Mark says, can help facilitate you meeting people like that. But even if you do have a lot of bad dates or uninteresting dates, you have to understand that those things are very important and helpful learning tools, because many people who jump into dating again on online or with any impersonal service like that, they may not know themselves very well. And the way you learn about yourself is to be with other people. So if you spend a lot of time in your living room watching television, you're not going to meet a whole lot of people coming through your living room. And as soon as you take the courage to go out there and to meet other people, you're going to find a lot of people that you may have some difficult or unpleasant interactions with, simply because you're getting to learn what it's like. Mm-hmm. You're getting feedback, valuable feedback from the environment that helps you to shape what it is your expectations should be and what you might like.
It was interesting that it seems some people stretch the truth a bit on those online dating services. On average,
that's hard to believe.
Yeah, on average, women describe themselves as 8.5 pounds thinner. I can see that, though, because you're thinking, hey, I can lose 8 pounds by the time I meet this guy. Men fit like 2 pounds, but they lied more about their height.
Right. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, don't forget, they're making the profiles kind of as an ideal individual or ideal person that they're projecting in the interest of attracting as many people as they can. So obviously the positive is going to outweigh. Age is another thing, although they tended to that research showed that people were generally pretty honest about their age. However, they were somewhat dishonest or stretching the truth in terms of the pictures they posted. The females tended to post pictures that were about a year and a half older. Men tended to post pictures that were about 6 months older.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously we have the culture that reinforces that dichotomy.
It's also important to understand that when people are filling out their profiles, sometimes there's a lot of internal psychological processes that go on. Some people will deliberately fake bad, and some people will deliberately fake good. So you're talking about people who have faked good. But a lot of people go on these online services, and they will try and present as a difficult picture of themselves as possible because they don't want to be tricking anyone. They don't want to be any false advertising, and they want to know if someone is going to be interested in them. Then they want to be absolutely sure they have not misrepresented themselves, so they might fake a little bit bad. Mm-hmm. And in doing that, depending on how they write their little write-up in there, the words they use could telegraph to someone, I really don't want to be with anyone, so don't bother to contact me. So you have to become a little bit of a literary deconstructionist to see, read between the lines a little bit what's going on.
Actually, there is some research on that, trying to detect the liars on these profiles. And one method of research is linguistic, where they just count words that are part of essays. And it turns out that statistically, this is not something to hang your hat on. Mm-hmm. But at least statistically, if you linguistically examine somebody's written essay, the liars tend to kind of create a distance right in their language. So they'll use relatively few personal pronouns. They'll say things in the third person. They use more negative words like not and never. Again, ways of putting up a buffer. They seldom use words that are more disclosing, like sad and upset, because that is exposing themselves. Finally, they tend to write shorter essays. Those are the kind of the linguistic characteristics of a liar's profile.
It could also be indicative of someone who is very anxious and insecure, though.
Sure.
Right, yeah.
This is statistics.
Well, it's interesting that in some of the studies it says women want men who are tall and wealthy. No surprise there, right? But it seems Martha Stewart was one of those, because Martha Stewart listed herself on Match.com. Her profile said she wanted a man who makes over $150,000 a year, has a graduate degree, doesn't smoke, and is between 5'10 and 6'6. As for her hobbies, she listed cooking, dining out, fishing, hunting, gardening, landscaping, movies and videos, museums and art, and goes on and on and on. She got 1,000 responses, chose two bachelors to appear with her on NBC's Today show, but no word on the outcome. But we check, she is still single.
Okay.
So that's all we know about that. But if anybody knows anything more about Martha Stewart and her bachelors, do give us a call, 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. We're talking about the psychology of dating. We'll talk more after a quick break.